right, turn, if you will, to Genesis chapter 22. Last week, before our business meeting, we were looking at chapter 22, and we looked at Abraham taking Isaac to sacrifice him, and God provided the ram for him. And tonight, as we come to look again at Abraham, we're going to be looking at Abraham's faith and family. We will look at the fact of Abraham's obedience, and then the funeral of Abraham's wife, and then the faithfulness of Abraham's servant. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for those who are faithful. As we went through the book of Hebrews recently, we saw so many men and women of faith, and we saw Jeremiah, an example of faith this morning, and Abraham and Sarah were faithful, and the servant, as we'll see in chapter 24, was faithful. And Lord, we want to be faithful. So help us that we might be faithful to you, that the things we learn from your word tonight will challenge us to be more faithful. In Christ's name, amen. As we look, first of all, at the fact of Abraham's obedience, we see that as we look at chapter 22 and in verse 16, where God says, "Now I know that you love me." As soon as I get over a page, I've got a new Bible that I got for Christmas, and the pages are still kind of sticking there. It's a large print one to help me out a little bit too. Verse 16 says, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son." And as we look at this part of our outline tonight, we see Abraham's love for his God, because the things that we love and the way that we can tell that we love God is not just in how much or what we give to him, but also the things that we hold back. And here in verse 16, God says, "Now I really know you love me because you didn't withhold this from me, your only son." So we see his love for God. When we come to the next chapter, we see the funeral of Abraham's wife, and we see his love for his wife. It tells us in verse 1 that Sarah was 127 years old. And these were the years of the life of Sarah. Sarah died in Kirjath Arba. The same is Hebron in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to Mount Sarah, to the mount, to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Abraham stood up from before the dead and spake unto the sons of Heth. And remember, Abraham had come into the land as a stranger, a sojourner. He didn't own anything. He didn't have land. He had the cattle and all the things that he brought with him, but he didn't have any property there. So he comes, and his wife, 127 years old, has died. And remember, we saw that she was very beautiful, even at the age of 90, when Abraham had her lie about being his wife, because she was so beautiful. But now at the age of 127, she's died. And my mom and dad were married for 67 years before my mom passed. And the love that they had and the love that Abraham had for Sarah after these many years, it says here that he came to mourn and to weep for her. And so his heart was broken because the love of his life had died. And it's a normal thing for us to sorrow whenever a loved one dies. But we know that we sorrow not as those who have no hope. And so after he sorrows, we see in verse 3, it says, "And Abraham stood up from before his dead." And so we see now his steadfastness. You know, there's a time to mourn, and even though when we lose those we love, we never really completely get over it, but that mourning and weeping that's described in these two words from the Hebrew, that kind of mourning and weeping doesn't go on forever and ever. It doesn't go on till we die. Those that we love, they go on. We think about them. We miss them. There's still that emptiness there. But there's not that mourning and weeping like it was at the time of death because of the hope that we have. And we see his steadfastness. Now, here he is. his wife had died, and rather than just deciding to say, well, that's just it, I can't go on anymore, he's going to keep on going, even in spite of his wife dying there. And hope is what we have in Christ and the love for his wife there. Look at verse 6. Abraham, because he was a sojourner, he didn't have anything, he said, hear us, my Lord. Thou art a mighty prince among us. In the choice of our sepulchres, bury thy dead. Because, see, Abraham had said in the verse 4, I'm a stranger. I don't have a place to bury my wife. I want to buy something. And they said, you can have your choice. But notice what else they said in verse 6. None of us shall withhold. There's that word again that we saw in chapter 22, verse 16, where Abraham did not withhold his only son. And they're saying to Abraham, we won't withhold from you anything. You take whatever you want. Abraham, even though he didn't have any possessions, obviously had a good testimony. They loved Abraham, and they said, you can bury her wherever you want. So Abraham stood up in verse 7. He bowed himself to the people. And verse 8, he communed with them. He said, if it be in your mind that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me and entreat for me to Ephron, the son of Zohar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he had. And so he found the land that he wanted and the cave that he wanted to bear Sarah. And so verse 10, Ephron dwelt among the children of Heth, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham and the audience of the children of Heth, even all that went into the gate of the city, saying, nay, my Lord, hear me. The field give I thee, and the cave that is therewith I give it to thee. And so Abraham wants to buy it. He says, you're not going to buy it. I'm going to give it to you. And Abraham says, no, you're not going to give it to me. I'm going to buy it. And he says, no, I want to give it to you. And, you know, they just were being kind of stubborn, you know. But Abraham knew that he didn't have any possessions there. And he wanted to have that possession. God had promised it. This is a cave in Canaan. And notice verse 15. He says, my Lord, hearken to me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that betwixt me and thee? Bury therefore thy dead. If you want to pay me, this is what it's worth. But what's money between us as friends? What a wonderful relationship that Abraham had developed here. And so he buys it in verse 19. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre, the same as in Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And so Abraham's wife dies. We had seen when he goes there and he offers Isaac, he didn't withhold him. We saw his love for his God. Here his wife has died and he mourns and he weeps, and we see his love for his wife. And then we come to chapter 24 and the first three verses. Abraham was old. He was well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Abraham said to his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go into my country, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And now when we come to chapter 24, we see his love for his son. Abraham knew that he had a wife, Sarah, that had loved him, had supported him, and had been the helpmeet that God had for him. And Abraham wanted that same thing for his son. He wanted his son to know, as the scripture says, he that finds a wife findeth a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. So we see his love for his God, his love for his wife, and his love for his son. And so he takes his servant aside, and he's going to send him out to find a bride for Isaac. And here is the faithful servant of Abraham. As we look through this, A couple of years ago, I know I used this passage in speaking in chapel to our high school kids. I don't remember, I didn't note it if I did it in church or not, but if it sounds familiar, it's only been a couple of years ago, and there are at least 15, maybe 16 characteristics that we see of faithfulness from this servant who's not even named here in the scripture. And the first one is preparation. Verse 5 says, "The servant said to Abraham, 'What if, peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land? Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? But what am I going to do if she won't come there?'" And so he's thinking ahead, trying to make preparation. And that's what we should do as well. The book of Proverbs teaches us that the simple pass on. And they're punished. They don't look into the future and try to see as best as they can what consequences might occur. And so those that are faithful are going to make preparations to do whatever they can. That's what Abraham is doing. He's getting ready to die. And he's been faithful. And he wants to make preparations for his son to have a wife like he did, a wife like Sarah. And of course, God provided Rebekah, as we'll see at the end of the story. Well, another characteristic of faithfulness is being a man or a woman of your word, knowing how to keep a promise. Verse 8 says, "And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring not my son thither again." And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and he swore to him concerning that matter. And of course, that was like shaking hands in our culture. They were going to give their word to it, and he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll promise you that I won't go and get a bride from that land from which you've come." And he was going to honor his word. So if we're going to be a faithful servant of the Lord, we first must have preparation. We must know how to keep an oath, to keep our word, to keep promises as we give them. The first two start with P, but the third one doesn't. I'll disappoint you. These are not alliterated here tonight. Being trustworthy, verse 10. "And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed." Can you imagine what this would have looked like going on this journey with 10 camels? "And he departed, and all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia." Notice what was in his hands, all the goods of his master. How many goods did Abraham have? We see that he was very wealthy. He had an army of over 300. And he had all of these camels. And here's a servant who's not even named, that Abraham is going to take everything that he has and he's going to entrust it to this servant. And I think that if I were in Abraham's position and I was going to entrust all of my belongings, if I were Abraham and had a lot of belongings, I'd want to make sure it's somebody I could trust. And that's a wonderful characteristic of a servant, is to be trustworthy. And this unnamed servant was trustworthy. Well, verse 11, "He made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, 'O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham.'" And so we see the fourth characteristic is that of prayer. Here he's going to the Lord and he says, "I pray thee, God, show kindness to my master." Notice in verse 11, even the camels are kneeling down to pray. They're kneeling down. I don't know if they're praying there. But if we're going to be a faithful servant of God, we must be people of prayer. Don't we know that God hears prayer? God answers prayer. And here's this servant, though he is very trustworthy, he's got all of Abraham's goods with him and 10 camels, but yet he's also not just trusted with material things, he's entrusted with the responsibility of going to find a wife for Isaac there. And that culture is so much different than ours. You know, I said, I might be looking for somebody trustworthy to go and hold all my belongings. But I don't know if I would trust anybody to go and find a wife for me. I want to do that myself. Maybe for a son like Abraham was doing would be a different matter here. But he goes to the Lord and he prays. Now verse 13, he's not going to lean on his own understanding, but he's going to allow the Lord to lead him. Verse 13 says, "Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass," he's praying, "that the damsel to whom I shall say, 'Let down the pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink,' and she shall say, 'Drink,' and I will give thy camels drink also, let the same be that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master." Verse 15, "And it came to pass before he had done speaking that, behold, Rebekah came out." You know, sometimes the Lord answers our prayers that quickly, and sometimes he doesn't answer them that quickly. But here, he's answering this prayer before he even finishes. Verse 16, "And the damsel was very fair to look upon." Just as Isaac's mother was very beautiful, Sarah was, here Isaac's going to have a beautiful wife, Rebekah, as well. And it says she went down to the well and she filled her pitcher and she came up. And so we see him praying and we see God answering. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And here's an unnamed servant who was faithful. He had done the preparation. He had made a promise. He was trustworthy. And he knows that he can't do this. This is too big a task for me. I'm going to pray and ask God. And God answers his prayer. And he was very diligent as well. In verse 17, "And the servant ran to meet her. And he said, 'Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher.'" And so he sees her coming and he doesn't waste any time. And the Bible tells us those of us, if we're going to be counted faithful, we need to be diligent. The Lord's coming back. We don't know if we have another day. So if we're going to be faithful to the Lord and to his coming, he says, "Occupy until I come." Be busy about the Lord's business, as this servant was. Well, the next quality we're going to see is that of being patient, beginning at verse 18. It says, "And she said, 'Drink, my Lord.' And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, 'I will draw water for thy camels also.'" Isn't that amazing? That's exactly what he said was the sign he was looking for to see if it was the one God had for them. She said, I'll draw water for your camels until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough. And she ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all the camels. And she ran again and again to draw water. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit, or to know, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous. And so here he is waiting while she's drawing water for how many camels? 10. How long does it take to go to the well and draw enough water to give to 10 camels who had made this journey? I don't know. If you find out, I didn't Google that, how long does it take to water 10 camels? Google has all the answers. Maybe it's there. But he was patient as well as being diligent. He ran to her earlier, and now he just sits and waits. And so a servant of God knows when to be diligent and outworking, and when there's a time to pray, when there's a time to wait. And he's waiting, and verse 22 says, "It came to pass as the camels had done drinking," all 10 of them, they were finished, "that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and 2 bracelets for our hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. And he said, 'Whose daughter are you? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?' And in verse 24, she said, I'm the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare to Nahor. Now, hold your place there and go back to chapter 22. There's a little genealogy that we didn't read after Abraham offered Isaac. We see in chapter 22 and verse 20, it says, and it came to pass after these things, it was told Abraham, saying, behold, Milcah, she hath borne children to thy brother Nahor. Verse 23, and Bethuel begat Rebekah. These eight Milcah did bear to Nahor, Abraham's brother. So Abraham, before he sends the servant out to find a bride, word had come to him that his brother had had children. And so he's sending his servant out to find someone from the family there, which was the custom in those days, of course, and no longer for our days. They were would have been first cousins. My mom and dad are third cousins. They had the same grandparents on each side, so they really were. They were third cousins. I tell people that's why I look so much alike. But anyway, that's all right. Now we go on to letter G. Next characteristic of a servant is being thankful. In verse 23, some people say that might be what's wrong with me. I don't know. Verse 23 said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge? And she said, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare to Nahor. She said, moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough, room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And we see that he is thankful. And that's a characteristic of a faithful servant. In everything, give thanks. He had gone to a land he didn't know where he was going, looking for a bride that he had no idea how he was going to find. And he prayed, and before he had done praying, God would answer his prayer, and he didn't forget to give thanks. And we need to always remember to give thanks to God for what he does for us, not to take the goodness of God for granted. Well, the next characteristic of a faithful servant is of being obedient. Verse 27. He said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Obedient. I being in the way, the Lord led me. The Lord wasn't going to lead him if he wasn't in the right path, going where he needed to go, but he was obedient to his master Abraham. And as I said before, you know, God wants to direct us and steer us, and it's impossible to steer a parked car. And so here was this servant. He wasn't just sitting around waiting. He was diligent. He was praying. He was going. He was talking. He was doing all that he could possibly do and asking God. And being in the way that God had directed for him, God led him there. And then the next characteristic we see of a faithful servant is being blessed of the Lord. God blesses faithfulness. Verse 28, the damsel ran. She told them of her mother's house these things. Rebekah had a brother. His name was Laban. Laban ran out unto the man to the well. And it came to pass when he saw the earring and the bracelets upon his sister's hands, you know, he started to think, oh, this guy has money. He might be good for her. And when he had heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. He's still there. And he said in verse 31, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and he gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. So the servant had taken some to help him. He obviously wasn't handling those 10 camels all by himself. But he was addressed as, oh, blessed of the Lord. And whenever we are faithful to the Lord, we saw this morning that when Jeremiah was preaching to the people there and they were disobedient, that the calamity that came on them, they had brought that on themselves. And in opposite manner, whenever we are faithful to the Lord, there are blessings that come from God for that. Sometimes we get blessings just because of the goodness of God. And sometimes we get blessings because we have been faithful to God and he was blessed of the Lord. The next characteristic we see is dedication. Verse 32 already. And there was set meat before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told mine Aaron. And he said, speak on. So here he comes with these 10 camels all this way and must have been hungry. And so even the physical needs that he had for food, he was willing to lay aside those things and wait until he had accomplished the task that Abraham had sent him to do. And he said here, he said, I will not eat until I finished Aaron. Boy, that's dedication, isn't it? Whenever we are willing to put aside eating to do what God has told us to do there. Well, we come to the next characteristic of a faithful servant, and that is that of having a proper self-image. Verse 34. He answered as to who he was. He says, I am Abraham's servant. I'm a servant. If we ever think that we are more than that, that we are deserving of anything, that we have any rights to anything, we are mistaken. And self-image, it might be a popular topic in worldly education, but we know the proper self-image is that without Christ, I am nothing. And anything that I am is because of Christ, and he gets all the glory. And the servant realized that I'm just a servant, and that's all we are. We're servants. But what a wonderful position that is, and how blessed it can be when we're faithful servants, not just a servant, but a servant of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords there. Well, the next characteristic of a faithful servant is to recognize the providence of God. And this servant recognizes that. Verse 35, he said, the Lord hath blessed my master greatly. He's become great. He's given him flocks and herds and silver and gold, men servants, maid servants, and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. And unto him hath he given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred and take a wife to my son. And I said to my master, peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said to me, the Lord, before whom I walk, will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. And so Abraham had faith, and he sent him out. He says, God's going to do this, and the providence of God is at work here. And even though we can't see everything that's before us, this servant certainly couldn't. He was trusting the providence of God. Let's continue reading verse 41. Then shalt thou be clear. He's speaking to the household there. My master said, thou shalt be clear from this thy oath when thou comest to my kindred. If they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. And I came this day unto the well, and I said, O Lord God of my master. And so now he's telling them what had happened, how he had come to the well and how he had prayed and the sign that he had given when he asked for a drink as she offered to water the camels. He says, that's what I prayed. That's what I asked. And Rebekah came, and she did exactly what I had asked the Lord to do. Now we come down to verse 48. It says, I bowed down my head, and I worshiped the Lord, and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to make my master's brother daughter unto his son. And now, if ye would deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. And so he says, tell me, is she going to go or not? And I'm going to go somewhere else if she doesn't. And the people, part of Abraham's family, believers, thinking, wow, this is an amazing story. This is a wonderful thing. And of course, Rebekah ends up going. And again, he gives thanks. And we cannot emphasize enough the importance of being thankful. In verse 50, Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceeds from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Now, God had sent him to do a job, and he sees God's hand at work, and he stops, and he worships the Lord and thanks the Lord. Then notice what he does. Another characteristic of a faithful servant, he's generous. The servant brought forth jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment. He gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And so here's this servant who's just so generous in giving. Unless someone stopped to criticize and say, well, sure, he was generous because those weren't even his things anyway. They were Abraham's. He's giving away something that's not even his. Then it begins to point the finger back at ourselves if we think that way, doesn't it? Because what do we have that is ours? And so if we're generous too, we're not being generous with that which is ours, because nothing we have is ours. Everything that we have has been entrusted to us, even as Abraham had entrusted everything he had to his servant. We don't have anything. It is all God's, and we need to be generous with what God has given to us to administer there. Then we see, next to the last characteristic of a faithful servant, he will avoid delays and hindrances or detours, because Satan will certainly try to put those in the way. Verse 54. They did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and they tarried all night, and they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away to my master. Her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. And he said to them, hinder me not. Don't get in my way. The Lord has prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And so he wasn't going to let anything hinder him from doing what God had called him to do. Now let's finish out the chapter and the story as we see the last characteristic of a faithful servant is that of contentment. The verses are kind of small there, and that's not even all of them. So if you have your Bible, follow along as we pick up the story in verse 58 and see if you can find where contentment comes to play in the life of the servant here. And they call Rebekah. They said to her, wilt thou go with this man? She said, I'll go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions. Isn't that the promise that God gave to Abraham, that it was going to be through Isaac and even Rebekah? He says, and let the seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And verse 62, and Isaac came from the way of the well Lehi Roy, which he dwelt in the south country. That sounds like a southern country, doesn't it? Lehi Roy. Verse 63, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And verse 64, Rebekah lifted up her eyes when she saw Isaac. She lighted off the camel. Of course, she didn't know this who it was, of course. She asked in verse 65. She had said unto the servant, what man is this that walks in the field to meet us? The servant said, it is my master. Therefore, she took a veil, she covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done, and Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and she took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. And so we see why Isaac is content. We see why he's comforted, because he has this beautiful bride that has been brought back to him. But the contentment that we see in the faithful servant here, the story ends here and the servant's no longer mentioned. And yet here is a servant who is content to do what he's called to do, to do what he's told to do. And he was content in being a faithful servant. And so we look at the conclusion. Two questions. Are you a faithful servant? Well, one question and two responses to that. Whenever he came back with Rebekah, Isaac was rejoicing there and comforted. And the question we ask, if we're going to be a faithful servant, we must bring rejoicing to our master's son, the Lord Jesus himself. And the second question we ask, are you content doing your duty? Here's a servant who was content just doing his job. Nothing special, except it was special because Abraham had told him to do this. He didn't know how he was going to do it. He looked to God. God met his need, and God brought back Rebekah for Isaac. If you like to mark in your Bible, I don't know if I'll give you all the verses, but in this passage of Scripture, you may have noticed the servant saying over and over, "My master, my master." I think it starts all the way back in chapter 24. He said, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, show kindness unto my master." And he goes on again in verse 14 at the end, "my master." And again, verse 27, "my master," three times is in that verse. Verse 35, "my master." 36, twice, "my master's wife and my master." Verse 37, "my master." Verse 39, "my master." Verse 42, "my master." Verse 44, "my master's son." Verse 48, "my master Abraham, my master's brother." Verse 49, "my master." Verse 54, "my master." Verse 56, "my master." 19 times we see the phrase "my master." And the first 18, they are referring to Abraham. But verse 65, when Rebekah said, "Who is this?" And verse 65, the servant said, "It is my master." He doesn't say it's my master's son. He is the master because he's the son. And Isaac is a type of Christ. And our faithfulness to God is equivalent to our faithfulness to Christ, who is the Son of God and who indeed is our master. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for faithful servants in the Scripture that encourage us to be faithful. Lord, there are many other characteristics that we could find in the Scriptures that would describe a faithful person. But Lord, these are enough for us. They're so overwhelming. If we try to do it in the flesh, we certainly can't do it. This servant did not do this in the flesh. He looked to God for guidance and direction. I being in the way, the Lord led me.